about it. I want you to listen to the word I'm going to share this morning. But some of you that may be having trouble with your finances, you can get one of these prayer cloths. We're going to pray over them. It's anointed. You can put it in your wallet. But let me say this first. If you're not doing what the Word of God instructs you to do, and you're having a hard time with your finances, don't take a prayer cloth. If you're not a giver and a tither, don't take a prayer cloth and put it in your wallet, because you are stopping the blessing from being in your finances by not giving to God, by not tithing. And so you're getting the cart ahead of the horse. I'm going to break the curse that's on my finances by taking this prayer cloth. I'm going to put it in my wallet. You've already caused that curse to come on yourself. Malachi teaches that if you don't give, you're cursed with a curse. That's God that said that. That wasn't just a prophet. He was inspired and anointed by God. And so I'm going to take the prayer cloth and break the curse I'm bringing on myself. It doesn't work that way. But if you're a giver and you're a tither, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Those that are givers and tithers, they're still up against it. Things are pressing them, and the finances just aren't there like they need to be there. And you need that breakthrough in your finances. You can take a prayer cloth for that, too. That's not selfish. You can do that for yourself. You can do it for others. It can be for sickness. It can be for salvation. It can be for demonic oppression that's upon an individual, that the power of that will be broken. And so we're going to give those out this morning at the end of the service. So you think about that. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at this morning, verses 13 and 14. We're going to read, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and since I've been in the place of leadership here in the church, this is probably two of the Scriptures that I make the most reference to most often, but I felt inspired as we was having the time of prayer here on the first Monday night in January. This just came to me so much and so strong. We're at the beginning of a new year, 2023. Somebody's like, so what? What's the difference? It's just a calendar turned over to a new year. It's the same old, nothing's going to change. But as we go into the new year, we need to look ahead and not look back. And there's a lot of bad things that we cause and bring up on ourselves if we're constantly and continually looking back. We can bring a defeat, a mindset that I can't do it, that it's always going to be the same, that the power of that thing's never going to be broken. I'm always going to have the struggle. But we're going to look at these Scriptures this morning, Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. This is one of Paul's writings, and you could read the verses prior to it. You can read the verses after it. But these are very verses that are read very often. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14. The next step, something he had to do, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." God, that you'll help us today, that the reading of this word, that it's blessed. We know it is. Give us understanding of this. Help us, God. How do I apply it to my life? How do we apply it to our lives, God? Lord, show us through your word today in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so Paul, he was a very educated man. In the expression that we use, he was nobody's dummy. He wasn't like, you know, point me in the right direction, and he wasn't a robot. He was a very well-educated man. In fact, he probably was more educated than any of us are in here this morning. He was a very educated man. And so there was a lot of things in Paul's life that he didn't understand. And we can draw a parallel with that. Perhaps there's a lot of things in your life to the point where you are today in your life, and to the point that you've come in your life, and all the happenings that you've had in your life to where you are today, there is probably a lot of things that you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't have an answer as to the whys and wherefores. And it's like, man, and Paul could have been stuck on that. He had his prior life. We do have some writing in the Word of God about his prior life and the life he was involved in and what he was doing. Paul was always a very religious man, at least when he was a man. I don't know, as a child, his upbringing, but he was very religious. He was very zealous for the work of the Lord. In fact, that's why he was going about persecuting persecuting these Christians because this message of the Old Testament and this message of the law and the way that the law instructed people to live and how they were to do things, this new religion that came out in the book of Acts after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it seemed so contrary to the law that Paul and his followers, they looked at it as blaspheme, the things that these people were doing in the name of the Lord. And they thought, this is a devilish thing. This is a demonic thing. It's God's service that we go out there and we put a stop to this thing. And Paul was pursuing that. And he was seeing to the death of many people. And I believe it even included women and children, families. They were imprisoned. And those that came to their death was probably men. It could have been some women too. And he was bringing the papers. And he had the authority, like, get this one and this one and this one. Thought he was really doing God's service. And so there was a lot of things in his life that he thought he had it all together. He thought he understood. He thought he had it all figured out. And perhaps you were in that situation one time in your life. Perhaps you're in that position today. You think you've got it all figured out. You got this whole life thing figured out, and I just know where it's going and what's going to happen. But Paul had an encounter on the road to Damascus, and we shared that not very long ago. And so what it takes for in a person's life is they need to have an encounter with Jesus. They need to have that face-to-face encounter with him, because when they do, then they begin to realize that there's a lot of things that I don't understand. A person that doesn't know the Lord, they think they got it all figured out. They think they understand everything. And there's a lot of Christian folk also that believe they have it all figured out. They have an answer for everything. They've got it all figured out until something happens in their life and they just don't get it. They just don't understand. It seems unfair. It doesn't seem right that this happened to me. And Paul was in a situation similar to that. And he couldn't figure out his whole past and everything of the whys and wherefores and how he got to the point he was today. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't think your life's been fair to you and the whys and wherefores and the mess that it might be in or the things that you're currently facing. And it's like, man, I just don't know where I'm going to go from here. Paul, in this opening scripture that we read, he says, I count myself not to apprehended. I just don't count myself to know everything, to have it all figured out. But he says, this one thing I do understand, and this is something vitally important for us today as believers. We have to understand this. He says, this one thing I do understand. Amen. This one thing I do. He says, I forget. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. I forget my prior life. I forget where I messed up in the past. I forget where I was seeing to the imprisonment of women and perhaps even children and families. I forget that I had death warrants for many people that was taken to their death. And I forget those things because I have to forget those things. If I don't, they are going to haunt me. They are going to hinder me. They are going to stop me from doing what God wants me to do. It's the same way in your life. Your past failures, your past faults, your past bad decisions and things that you've done that you're not so proud of. If you dwell on those things, it will stop you from doing what God wants you to do today. And what the devil, the enemy of our soul, wants us to do, he wants us to remember our past. He wants us to live in our past. He wants to remind you of your past faults, of your past failures. And with that in mind, he then is able to convince us, you can do nothing for Christ. Are you even really a Christian? You bring shame to the gospel because of the way you used to live. You have to, it's vitally important that you forget those things which are behind you. Amen. It's water under the bridge. You have to forgive. You have to forget about it. You can have some regrets. You can learn from your past faults. You can learn from your past failures. I believe that Paul learned a lot from his past failures, from his past faults. Even though at the time he was doing those things, he thought he was so right. In the decisions that you've made in your past, think about it for a moment. I'm saying forget about them, but think about it for a moment. The majority of the wrong decisions that you made in the past, when you were making those decisions, you really thought you were doing the right thing. And then it proved to be the wrong thing. And then it comes back and it haunts you and it stops you and you can't move forward in life. You have to forget those things that are in the past. Amen. And so we're in 2023. You have to forget those failures in 2022, but yet you can remember them enough to the point that I'm not going to let that happen again. I learned from that. We need to learn from those things in our past that we're going to do it different in the future, and we need to look ahead to a new year. We need to look for a new day. Amen. Pastor Eastman, who was here for 58 years, one of his favorite sayings for many years was this: today is the first day of the rest of your life. It can be different from this moment forward. It's in our mindset. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm not going to live in my past. I'm not going to let the devil remind me of my past. And I've heard it said this way before, so it's not an original statement from me, but when the devil tries to remind you of your past, why don't you remind the devil of his future and see how that sits with him? And if you know what the future of the devil is, it's not a good thing. Amen. So devil, you're going to remind me of the past. Let me serve notice on you. I'm going to remind you of your future. And how about if devil, if I remind you of what my future is going to be, leave these things behind me. It doesn't have to be like it's always been. Things can break. Chains can be broken. Generational curses can be broken by the power in the blood of Jesus. Are there generational curses? There certainly is. Amen. You can study that out in the Word of God. But it can be broken. Amen. When that one in the family decides that I am going to serve Jesus and they let the blood of Jesus be applied to their life, those generational curses can be broken, but yet they're going to be there to try to haunt you, to try to bind you, to try to put a chain on you. Amen. Because we forget that thing that's behind. My family's always been, you know, had trouble with alcohol. My family's always had trouble with drugs. My family's always had trouble with pornography. My family's always had trouble with profanity. You could put a lot of things in there. And then we just tend to think because it's just a generational thing, I can't help it. But those things can be broken by the power of the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Don't just accept something because it's always been that way. Amen. Human nature, our human nature, what is it? We don't like to challenge ourselves. There's a lot of people challenging themselves now in this new year. And most of the time, New Year's resolutions and promises and goals that people make, most of them are health related. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to sleep more. And, you know, we make all those kinds of things. But our human nature is not to challenge ourselves. Why? Because we know ourselves and we know it in ourselves. I'm not going to set a challenge out there that I know that I can't do it. So why even set that challenge? We think that I can't do that. You really don't know me. Human nature, amen, thinks that way. What's human nature think? It is what it is. It is what it is. I'll just have to deal with it. If we don't take the battle to the enemy, we let the enemy bring the battle to us, and then we're on that defensive mode. We need to be on the offense against the devil. And we just begin to think, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. Amen. So what's the problem? Amen. Many times there's problems in us. If you dwell in the past, you never move on. You never move on if you dwell in the past. There's some people that are living in the past. There has been something traumatic that has happened in their life in the past, and they just stopped living on that day. Time kept going. They kept having birthdays, but they're just living on that day. Now an example I can share of that, amen, share about that that comes to mind as I'm standing here this morning. As an example, yours could be different, but Pastor Eastman, he went through a traumatic thing when he was young. I believe he might have been about 16 years old, and his parents got divorced, and he was sent to just go make it on his own and figure it out. And if you hear him share that story, that testimony, and it's a glorious testimony how God came through for him, but he could have just stopped living on that day, and he could have lived the rest of his life, pity me, poor me, look what happened to me, my parents put me out when I was about 16 years old, I had to go make it on my own, I'm never going to be nothing in my life, I'm a failure, nobody wants me. He could have turned to liquor, he could have turned to drugs, he could have just lived a poor me, defeated life. There are many people walking around that are living in an incident, in an experience that happened to them, how many ever years ago, and they never moved on from that day. Amen. For our own good, we need to forget those things which are behind, and it doesn't say in the Word of God it's going to be easy to do, but it's something that Paul understood. I must forget those things that are behind me, because if I don't, I'm not going to move ahead. Amen. So some people stopped living on that date and that time of that incident. The incident, they can't get past it. They won't let it go. I'm not saying that it was just. I'm not saying it was fair. I'm not saying it was a good thing that happened to you. There are harsh, there are bad, traumatic things that happen to people, and it's not easy, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have to move on from this. There's some people, although they're living and breathing, they died on that day. They died on that day, and perhaps you know some of them. I had a great aunt of mine that really struggled, and I'm not saying it, and God rest her soul, and I'm not saying it to condemn her, but she lost her son. I believe he was in his early 20s. It was a traumatic accident that happened, and her son was taken out, left his wife and their young son behind, but she could not move on from that day. She was just questioning God, why you let this happen? She couldn't move on. And I believe up until close to the time of her death that she would go to that graveyard and she would sit there at that tombstone just pondering and wondering why. Why did this happen? Could we have done something differently? She was stuck on that day. She didn't enjoy life after that day. She didn't move on. God wants us to move on. Not belittling what happened to her, but we have to move on. And God wants us to forget those things that are behind us. Amen. And so the message that Paul was given in verse 13, we should leave behind the parts of our lives that keep us from being completely and totally devoted to Jesus. I'm going to read that statement again. Paul's message is, we should leave behind the parts of our lives that keep us from being completely and totally devoted to Jesus. Well, I can't commit to the church. I can't commit to Jesus. And it's always going to be because, and there's going to be a reason for it. We have to leave those things behind. Anything in our lives or in our hearts that distracts us from God, that would put a seed of doubt in our heart that God really cares and exists. Amen. We have to purposely lay those behind and choose to have a closer walk with God. That's something that we have to purpose in our heart. Oh, it's a pity me, poor me. We just, you know, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. I am the way I am. You might not understand why I am, but give me a moment of time. I'll tell you. And you would feel the same way I feel. Paul said, we gotta let it go. We are not perfect. There's nobody in here that's perfect. The only one that was perfect was Jesus. Amen. But what do? But we reach towards that perfection daily. We do the best that we can. God, I'm doing okay. And then I had a flop and a failure here. I started to look back and get weighed down by the past again. But Lord, I'm laying that down again and I'm coming towards you. We work towards it daily. We must put off the old man. Amen. And Paul was an example of that. The experience that he had on the road to Damascus. Amen. That great light showing out of heaven. And he had that encounter with Jesus. Amen. Maybe we need a real encounter with Jesus, not doubting what happened in the past in your life as far as your spiritual experience, but if you get a real encounter with Jesus, amen, it's going to be easier to leave behind. And so when Paul had that encounter with Jesus, he left behind him the life as a Pharisee, and he devoted himself to God. Turned over a new leaf. It's going to be different now. We can turn over a new leaf in 2023. 2023 is going to be different. Yeah, but I can't because, man, look at the age I am, and it hasn't worked for me yet. It can work for you this year. Amen. You have to have that determination that's going to be different. And then people would ask the question, how can I forget the past? How can I forget the past? How could Paul forget that he seen to the death of some men? How could he forget that? How can you forget your past? Perhaps you've done some things that you're not so proud of, and if you had it to do over again, you would do it very differently. It's hard to let those things go, but how can we forget the past? One way to forget our past is to constantly move forward. Constantly move forward. Constantly move forward. I'm not going to live in my past. Yes, I made some bad decisions. Yes, it's my fault that things ended up the way that they are, but I am going to move forward from this day forward. Amen. And you know what? And the way that we can move forward and forget the past is we have to realize, amen, that we're not righteous in our own eyes. And I hope nobody in here thinks that you're good and holy and righteous, but we are righteous in God's eyes. Amen. And how do you become righteous in God's eyes? You do that by submitting to Christ, and then you're righteous in His eyes. And how do we forget the past? We're always working towards God's purpose in my life. Wherever you are in your life today, you need to ask that question. God, right now, this moment in my life, what is your purpose in my life? What do you want to accomplish with my life? Because we're believers that God has a purpose and a reason for each life. There's nobody here that's a child of God that's just taking space upon earth, and you're just a burden to the kingdom of God, and God doesn't have anything He wants you to do. God has a purpose and a reason for every life. Perhaps the purpose and reason that you have for your life, because of your past faults and failures, your purpose and reason could be to go out and to counsel and to help people so they don't make the same foolish decisions that you made. That could very possibly be. You're moving forward. I don't want you to do what I did. And I'm going to tell you something, young man. I'm going to tell you something, young lady. That could be something that God wants you to do. Amen. To teach others and to move forward. Isaiah chapter 43. We're not going to go there. But if you read verses 18 and 19, God was telling Israel there, don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the past. God was telling these people that His power wasn't and isn't limited to what God has done in the past. If we dwell on the past, now we're moving the idea a little bit. We have these people in Pentecostal churches that will say, I remember how it used to be. I remember when God used to really move. I remember when people danced in the Spirit. I remember when people spoke in tongues. I remember when there was tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I remember this and I remember that. Amen. But that same God that did it then is still the same today. It can. God does want it to happen today. But if we just dwell, well, it used to be. Oh, it's just so sad. It's not like it used to be. I wished it was like it used to be. It can be like it used to be, and God wants it to be like it used to be. Amen. So we can't dwell in the past. We have to look forward. And what things are there in our past that we should forget? And what do we need to forget? There are some things in our past that we forget. And I have compiled a little list of things here. And you could add to this and let God speak to your heart, whatever it is. Amen. We have to forget. Now, a lot of times when we think about forgetting our past, we just want to forget the bad things. But if we're going to move forward, you got to forget about your past successes too. Because if you dwell on your past successes, you're going to begin to get an ego about you, and you're really going to think that you're somebody special, and God really works through me, and I'm somebody, and that's all you'll ever be, is somebody that God used to work through, and I'm somebody special, and you're never going to have anything to do for God today. You're going to become useless to the kingdom of God and in His will, and what God wants to do in His church, being the body of believers. If you're just dwelling, man, that was a great success. I laid hands on them and they were healed. I laid hands on them and they were delivered. I prayed with them and they accepted Christ as their Savior. That's going to be the testimony throughout eternity. There's never going to be nothing more if you just dwell on that. Thank God for the past successes, but we got to forget those and move on, because today is a new day. Amen. Because you can get the feeling, if you have success in life and you dwell on that, you can get the feeling that I have arrived. I have arrived. There's nothing more. I mean, I've done it all. We can't dwell on our past successes. Neither can we dwell on our past failures. And I know we've all had successes in the past. I know we've all had failures in the past. But do you know what the enemy wants to do? He will and does use your past mistakes to try to get you to give up on serving Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, I hear that. But man, you don't know me. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. You have to forget your past failures. Amen. Don't let the enemy throw them up in your face. Amen. And other things that we need to forget. Past and present, we need to forget our fears. Fear is a real thing. There are all things, all of us that are in here, there are certain things that we fear. We just, have a fear of that. And so those past fears that you have, amen, if you're going to move forward, you have to forget your fears. Because when you don't fear, it means that you don't believe. There's unbelief there. God doesn't want us to have fear. Matthew 6:34, in so many words, Jesus was saying, don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of us. Hebrews 13, it's in there that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And we don't have any fear of what man can do unto us. We have to forget. We have to move forward. Well, I tried it before and I failed. So now I have a fear to try it again. You have to forget about those things. Amen. We have to forget, amen, that we were sinners. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm good for nothing. There's some people that never get by that. They've been serving God for years, and they'll give a testimony. And the testimony is, I thank God for salvation, but I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm pretty vile. Well, didn't Jesus forgive you of your sins? You have to forget what the sins that you've done in the past. The Word of God teaches us there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The devil wants to condemn us. The devil wants you to feel like you're nobody, you're nothing, you're a failure, you're never going to go anywhere in your life. Why don't you give it up? And then if we start listening to that voice, he can take us down into that oppression, and it can lead into a depression to the point that people take their own lives because there's nothing worth living for. Where did that come from? It come because they started thinking about their failures and faults in the past. God wants us to move forward. And I've already made mention of this. We have to forget about that cloud of generational curses because now you're a child of God. There are generational curses, but now you are a child of God. And it's not going to be in my household. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That generational curse is going to be broken, and the curse is put on because the forefathers, they neglected God and they forgot God. And the Bible teaches it goes down into the third and the fourth generation because of their disobedience. It can affect the third and fourth. If I'm doing something that's not right in God's eyes, there can be a generational curse that I bring up on my family, and it can go down three and four generations after me. But that can be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. Amen. You might say, well, I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm the black sheep of the church. That generational curse can be broken. Amen. And if we're going to move forward, we're forgetting the past. And this is something we might not like to think about. Well, I forget my past. We have to forget about bitterness, resentment that we have against somebody. I have to forget that. Amen. I put that under the blood. I have a new mind. Amen. He that is in Christ Jesus, we put off that old man. We put on the new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I don't have bitterness that I'm holding against somebody. I don't have a resentment that I'm holding against somebody. I have to forget those things and have to move forward. Amen. We forgive. We leave behind. Amen. That human tendency that we have, it could almost be a generational curse, that human tendency. I just have a tendency. I just find myself wanting to go after alcohol. And it's like, I just can't break it. I'm trying. And I know I can do all things through Christ, but it's just not there. We have to forget that human tendency. And we have to learn to live in the Spirit, follow the Spirit. Amen. The enemy wants you and me to live in the past. Why? It's to his advantage. It's to his advantage. If you're living in the past this morning, you're giving glory to the devil. He's just like so pleased with you. You're living in the past. We have to move on. Amen. But no, we look forward to what's coming. Sister Oaks could come down to the piano. Amen. I want you to stand and we're going to sing that song. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on towards the mark, towards my goal. We have to set a goal out there in 2023. 2023 is not going to be like 2022 was. Well, it's already not starting out too good. Well, that thing can be broken by the power in the name of Jesus. I'm going on. I'm going on. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. I'm not accepting it. The same news is coming in. I resist that. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm looking at it in a new light. I'm looking at it in a new way. I'm going to let Jesus be Jesus in me. I'm going to let Jesus take the controls of my life. I'm going to move on, and I'm going to forget. And I didn't share the scripture, but that second scripture I read, verse 14, Paul said, I press on. I press. There's work involved in it. It's not easy to let the past go. It's work to do that, but I'm going to do it with the help of God. Amen. Sing this with me this morning. Amen. And each one of us, wherever you are, wherever you fall in what was shared here this morning, make that commitment to God. God, it's got to be different. It's got to be a new day in my life, a new beginning. God, you're a God of new beginnings. It's going to happen this year for me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sing that song. I'm going on. I'm going on.